In the Rambam in Perek Brachos, in Hilchas Brachos, Perek Aleph Halacha Yud Aleph, says Kol Shemei Bracha Min Abrachos Mitchilasa V'Yatzofa. Whoever listens to any bracha from beginning to end, V'Neskaven Lotzeis Ba Yidei Chavaso, and has intention to fulfill his obligation. Yatza, he fulfills his obligation. V'Afalpi Shelo Ana Amen. Even though he didn't answer Amen. Because the Rambam differentiates between simple Shemaya Ka'ona, which is one way you can be Yotzei the Bracha, and then he mentions V'chol Ha'ona Amen, Achar HaMavarech, whoever answers Amen after the one who makes the Bracha, Hareza Kim Mavarech. It's as though he recited the Bracha. So apparently it would seem that's a higher degree. That Amen after a Bracha is sort of an abbreviated expression of the Bracha. But the Rambam wanted to tell you that even if he did not answer Amen, if he just listened with the intention of fulfilling his obligation, then of course he says, "V'hu she'yiyah ha'mavarech chayev bi'osa bracha." The requirement, of course, is that the one who is reciting the bracha has a chiyuv for that bracha. And then he says, if the mavarech was chayev midrabbanon, and the one who's listening, or the one who's answering Amen, the owner, is chayiv min haTorah, then lo yotzi dei chavaso. That he's not yotzi in that case. Ad sheyana, ad sheyishma mipi shehu chayiv ba min haTorah kamahu. So that's another point. That is to say that this mechanism only operates when the two people are on the same level of chiyuv. Now, I think it's fair to say, one can deduce from this Rambam, that he would agree with Rashi, with those Rishonim, who do not maintain that you have to understand what's being said in order to be Yotze. And the reason is because you can make that deduction from the fact that he omits it. It's true, he doesn't talk about this question. He doesn't raise this question. So you might say, well, he doesn't raise the question, so I don't know what his position is. However, if you're familiar with the structure of the Rambam, that is, it's very precise, it's very meduyak. And whenever there's a condition, he's mentioned conditions, for example, that he has to have kavana, that he has to be in the same level of chiyuv, and so forth. So if there's another vital qualification, this would be a vital qualification. That is to say, that in addition, the person has to understand the meaning of the words, in the language that the bracha is being said, then the Rambam should have added it. So the fact that the Rambam doesn't include it means to say that this is it. This is the concept of Shemei Ka'ona. The main question is the machlokas between Tosfos and Rashi, or the other Rishonim, with regard to this question. Can a person fulfill their obligation via Shemei Ka'ona when they don't understand the bracha in the language that it's being said? Now, for our purposes, we'll operate with the concept, which seems to be pretty much the universal concept. We just raised an issue in the Ran, the implication of the Ran, because the Ran agrees with, Rabbeinu Yonah agrees with Tosfos, that the women should not be Yotzei with the Zeman of the men, and rather they should be Mavarchos Liatzman, they should say the bracha themselves in a language that they understand. So that's all we had. So he says that in a language that they understand. He didn't really go any further and say, but what if they say it in Lashon HaKodesh and they don't understand it? He didn't take that up. So one could infer. It's possible to infer that he maintains that even when you say the bracha, you have to say it in a language that you understand. However, for our purposes, he's the only one that, you know, alludes to that. We're going to operate with the concept that, and Tosis didn't bring up that point, we're going to operate with the idea that you can't be Yotzei with Shomea through Shmia, but then the women have to say the Berakos HaMazon by themselves. And when they're saying it by themselves, if they're saying it in Hebrew or whatever it is, we're not machmir anymore as to whether they understand. That there's a difference between someone who says it by himself. Now, I tried to bolster that point at the end of the shiur yesterday with the Mishnah Berurah. At the Mishnah Berurah, Paskin, he brought down the Achronim, that Paskin, by and large, that women can be Yotze, even if they don't understand it. He's very clear about that. However, he gave a suggestion in order to remove all possible doubt. He said that they should listen and then recite the word. So you listen and you yotzei from his zimun, and then you recite the word, and thereby ensuring, he said, according to everybody, that you will be yotzei. So that seems to be in line with the idea that there is no problem when you yourself are saying the bracha. The only time there's a problem is when you're going to be yotzei through shmiya. So that's the position we're going to operate with. So the first question is, what's the machlokas? As to whether or not Shomei Ka'ona only operates when you have Havana, when you have understanding. And the second question after that will be Tosis's resolution of the seeming contradiction. In other words, the foundation for the position of Rashi and those Rishonim who maintain that Shomei Ka'ona, whether you understand it or not, they're basing themselves on a very firm foundation. And that's the Gemara in Megillah that says that Loes Shoshama Ashuras. Ashuras, that a foreigner, so to speak, someone that does not speak Hebrew, who heard the Megillah in Hebrew, was Yotzei. Now that's a very strong situation. It's a very strong fact, position. That's a clear-cut case in which we're saying that you could be Yotzei the Megillah, even though you don't understand it. So that's the burden of Tosos. Thus, the next thing we have to do is to understand what Tosos is saying when he makes his distinction. Tosos makes his distinction and says, well, that's different because that's an issue of Pirsumei Nisa. And that's it. That's a lot. So it's Pirsumei Nisa, but what's the difference? You have to hear. Everyone says you have to hear the Megillah, or you have to read the Megillah, or whatever. So that's the second thing that we want to understand. Third thing is really not necessarily germane to our issues, but while we're on the subject, we'll try and also explain why this phenomenon that you can be Yotzei, even though you don't understand, by Megillah, no one argues by Megillah, that you can be Yotzei by Megillah even though you don't understand it, but that's only when you're listening to it in Hebrew. When you're listening to it in other languages, there we say you must understand what's being said. That'll be the third question that we'll go to. But as I said, that's not as germane, because that's not a problem for us. That's a problem in terms of the Megillah situation. So let me ask a question, which is a methodological point that I sometimes utilize in trying to decipher, trying to understand the machlokas. I've mentioned this a number of times. Like, which side is easier? Which one is more in line with our common sense understanding? And which one is the more challenging side? Who has the bigger burden over here? Is it Rashi that has the bigger burden, or is it Tosfos that has the bigger burden?
Yeah, right.
Okay? To begin with, it seems that the bigger burden is on Tosfos. Because if we're starting off with the premise that if you recite a bracha, and you may not know the Hebrew, but you know how to recite the bracha, and you don't know the meaning of the words, if we say that you're Yotzei with that, so then what we're saying is that it's a bracha, even though you don't know the meaning of the words. If that's the case, now we're positing that there's such a thing as Shomei Ka'ona, listening is like saying, and therefore the logical result should be, so then in listening too, you shouldn't require this element of Havana. Well, how does Havana, so understanding, jump into the picture, so to speak? Where is it coming from? What's the source? What's the basis? One idea that's being suggested, I believe that this is the sense, to account for the difference between when one recites a bracha, and there, it's a bracha, whether you understand what you're saying or not. That makes sense, because that's the basic requirement. The basic requirement is to bless God. And that is achieved through the mechanism, the vehicle of the bracha. And therefore, one recites the bracha. If you recited the words that constitute the bracha, so you said the bracha. Obviously, a certain minimal amount of kavanah would have to be necessary. A person would have to know that this is a bracha. And in a general sense, that he's reciting this praise to God in order to permit him to eat bread or whatever it is. But he doesn't have to know the meaning of everything that he's saying. He recited the bracha. You can't deny that. So, in terms of saying the bracha, you enunciate the words of the bracha. So you're a mavarech. That's it. It's not that difficult to understand. Of course, one could argue that that there ought to be a requirement that a person should know what he's saying in order to make it a full prayer. You can argue all you want, but you could also say that no, that the minimal thing is to recite the blessing. But you can't argue that if he said the words, he recited the blessing. You can't argue with that. However, what's being suggested is that if you have a different mechanism, now you're saying that there's another way here. And that is by listening, which is a new idea. That itself requires a certain amount of explanation. So listening, what's listening? But now the Allah is telling you that if you listen, you can also be Yotze. So it's being suggested that listening is different. You're not considered to be a Shomea. You're not a Shomea if you don't know what's being said. You're just hearing noises. You can't use the same idea. Because if you enunciate a bracha, you enunciate a bracha. But now we're saying that you are a Shomea. That's a different category. Someone who's a Shomea. Well, what's a Shomea? Shomea means that you hear. You hear the statement. Well, hearing the statement doesn't just mean the noises. You're just hearing noises. So in order to be defined as a hearer, perhaps, now it's required that I heard what you said. I heard what you said means I heard and I comprehended. If I didn't comprehend, so then there's not a Shomea. That's not Shomea. That's just hearing noises. It's interesting, according to this formulation, Tosfos says the Bor understands Hebrew, Yodei Ktas. So Tosfos didn't demand that you hear word for word. At least you understand, so then you, as a hearer, you heard the statement. It doesn't mean you have to understand every word in the statement, but you get the general idea. So you heard a bracha. But hearing is different than enunciation. Another way of putting it, and it's just a matter of formulation now, because really, if you're going to address this question about Havana in Shomei Ka'ona, so I've always told you have to go back to the point, where does the argument emerge? What is it contingent upon? So clearly it has to be contingent upon how you understand the phenomenon of Shomei Ka'ona, obviously. So now we have to ask a fundamental question about the mechanism of Shomei Ka'ona. What exactly is Shomei Ka'ona? And I think it was stated correctly before. One way is that it's just a natural outgrowth of Ona. It's not something new. It's not a different phenomenon. But there's different degrees. There's different levels of enunciating a bracha. And the highest level of enunciation is to recite it. But when we say Shomei Ka'ona, it's not like a totally different category. You're in the same category. It's just that another way of achieving it on a lower degree is, if you can't say it, so by focusing, by listening word for word to somebody else's bracha, it's ka'ona. It's as though you recited yourself. It's in the same framework. It's in the same category. You see? So it's sort of an outgrowth. It's related to it. It's not a different idea. If that is the case, that we're saying that the lowest degree of enunciating a bracha is listening word for word to somebody else reciting it, so then the requirements would be the same. Just like when you say the bracha, it's enough that you enunciate the words, even if you don't understand them. That's a bracha. You establish a bracha that way. So too, when you listen word for word from someone who is mechuyav in the bracha with the intention to be yotzei, so you establish the bracha that way. It becomes your bracha that way. So it's the same idea. And therefore, there's no basis for a requirement to say that in this case you have to understand. In the other case, you don't have to understand. Because it's all within the same category. Or else one can say that, no, there are two mechanisms over here. There are two ways in which a person can achieve a bracha. And the real issue is, how do you create a bracha for yourself? Because you need the bracha. You can't go ahead. You can, whatever, the mitzvah, you're eating without the bracha. One way is through recitation. When we say Shomei Ka'ona, we're not saying that this is a level of enunciation. It's within the same frame. We're saying there's a separate mechanism of Shmiah. It's a separate mechanism completely. If you're saying it's a separate mechanism completely, so then there's a basis to say that this Shemiyah is different. Shemiyah has its own rules. Annunciation is annunciation. But Shemiyah means that you can make that what the other person says. It can become your Chefza through listening to it. Then it makes sense to say that you have to understand. Just listening to it is not enough. Yeah, before we explain that as being an Anishomea. Yeah, so we're saying an Anishomea. Because you don't relate it to how does it become your Chefza Shel Bracha. That Shmiyah is the mechanism by which it becomes yours. Provided that as a result of that Shmiyah, you understand the Bracha, so then you can relate that Bracha to you through the mechanism of Shmiyah. But it's a completely different mechanism. And if it's a different mechanism, so then you can't ask the question, how come if I say it, I don't have to understand it here? Because this is a different mechanism. Shmiyah works differently. When I hear something from somebody else, so then, as a result of hearing it and understanding it, so I internalize it, so that becomes my bracha. But that's because it's a different mechanism of Shmiyah. So really, it all hinges on this bottom line question of what is Shomea Ka'ona? What are we being taught over here? Is Shomea Ka'ona just a natural outgrowth of the process of Oneh? And if you analyze it, if you trace it all the way to its roots, Shmiyah is also part of Oneh? Or no? Shemiyah is not part of Oneh, but there are two dinim. There's Oneh, and now there's a new mechanism that you can render this your bracha to through a separate avenue of Shemiyah. Well, if that's the case, so the Shemiyah only works if it's something which you understand. Then it becomes yours. It becomes your bracha. There's a bit of a clarification that's going on. You're not saying something different. It's a bit of a clarification, and that is what Rav Bor is suggesting is that when Shemei Kono is that, you see, you're partaking of his Amira. That's how it becomes your Amira. That when he's saying it for me, you're saying it for me. So, therefore, it's like I said it myself. That's the side, you see, that's a nicer explanation of the first side, where Shemei Kono is still in the framework of Ona. It's not a different mechanism. I ask you to speak for me. So you're speaking for me. So it's like I said it myself. That's another way I could speak. I could speak directly, or I could have somebody speak for me. So that's similar to that. Here it's not identical, because in this case you have to be listening to, you know, to word for word. And then it's like you said it yourself. You said it for me. But the point being, bottom line, after all is said and done, I'm Yotzei because I have an Amira that I can utilize. And that's what we're saying. As long as you say, as long as you understand it in a manner that at the end of the day, I'm Yosei because I have an Amira, through an Amira's Bracha, through his Amira's Bracha, and what ties me to that, and what makes it my Amira's Bracha, is the fact that I listen word for word, so then you don't require Havana anymore. But once you say that Shemiyah is something different, it's a whole new mechanism, so then you open up the door for Havana. Now we're taking up the issue in Tosfos, as to the difference between Birkas HaMazon and Megillah, where Loish Shoshama Ashuras. And Tosa says, well, that's Pursuing Nisa. Well, that's difficult. I mean, so what? And also, it would seem to the contrary. If it's Pursuing Nisa, so then where's the Pursuing Nisa if people don't understand it? Interestingly, as has been pointed out, the Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos says that it's Pursuing Nisa, explains the idea. Everybody uses the same explanation, which at least on the surface would seem to be contrary to what you're trying to explain. Because Pursuing Nisa is to publicize the miracle. Well, and because it's publicizing the miracle, you don't have to understand it, which seems to be a contradiction in terms. But, the Rambam seeks to address it by saying, well, they understand it in general. I would say, just to try and answer what seems to be a little strange or ambiguous, is that you're saying it's Pursuing Nisa, and then because of that, you don't have to understand, which seems a little bit contrary. But I think what he means to say is that there's two different types of a kriya. What's the objective of the kriya? The objective of the kriya is Pirsumei Nisa. Now let me just give you a rough analogy. Let's say, you know, when a king or a leader or a government formulates a new decree, there's a new decree. So now there's a requirement that this decree should be publicized throughout the country. Publicizing. That would be akin, in my example, to Pirsumei Nisa. So what does it mean? It means you have to gather people in the square and read the proclamation. So that's it. When you do that, you publicize. Does that mean that everybody that was there was thinking carefully about everything that was being said? No, I mean, that's what it is, to gather the people and read it publicly. You read it publicly, that's Pirsumei Nisa. That's the objective. Now, of course, philosophically speaking, it would be nice if everybody would listen and pay attention, but that's not required. But you do require that people be there, and you do require that people should be listeners. That is to say, if you brought deaf people and you read it in front of them, that wouldn't be considered the idea. Or people were asleep. If you went, you know, you went to a hospital, everybody was asleep, and you proclaimed that that's not it's lacking in a proclamation. So the presence of listeners and the fact that people are listening qualifies it as a kriya of Pirsumei Nisa. So that's what Tosis, I think, is saying. And the Rambam, of course, is explaining it more to show you why it makes sense that as a result, the miracle will be proclaimed, because people do understand in general terms. But from a halachic standpoint, the kiyum of the kriya over here is Pirsumei Nisa. So that's a different type of phenomenon. Therefore, you must have a listener, a shomea. So somebody who the listening now is in a different framework. The listening now is in the framework to qualify the kriya. That the kriya should be a kriya of Pirsumei Nisa. So therefore, of course, you have to have a listener. He has to listen. But as long as he listened, it's not necessary that he understand everything that's being said. Because that's the way it works. It has to be proclaimed. It's a proclamation. And that's Pirsumei Nisa. Now, of course, you have to distinguish between the halachic and the philosophical. As a result of this, the actual, the real, so to speak, publication of the miracle will result. You see? That's the tam, so to speak. That is the tam, hadava. But in terms of the halachic formulation, that's defined as Pirsumei Nisa. Defined that when you read it publicly, by the way, that's why it is a kiyum to hear the Megillah in a tzibur, because that's Pirsumei Nisa. Pirsumei Nisa is much greater with the tzibur than with the yachid. So the real kiyum is, of course, your yosei through a yachid too, because that's also Pirsumei Nisa. But that is the idea, that it's kriya. It's a kriya whose objective is that it should be a kriya of Pirsumei Nisa. So, therefore, as long as you listened, it qualifies the kriya. Yeah, Rav Lur is making an important modification. That is, we're not saying over here that there's no requirement of kriya. There's no requirement of Shemei Ka'ona. But Shemei Ka'ona works over here because the whole idea of kriya is Pirsumei Nisa, which means proclamation. So, as far as that is concerned, it's a proclamation. And it works both ways. That is to say that if you read the decree, the whole objective is that the decree should be read so that people should hear it should be spread. So then it works. It works over here due to the fact that it accomplishes the objective of Pirsumei Nisa. So the whole idea of the kriya, the whole mitzvah's kriya, is measured in terms of Pirsumei Nisa, which takes place when people read it, when the Megillah is read, and people hear it, it's read and it's listened to, so that's the Pirsumei Nisa. So that affects the standard that is required in terms of Kriya, and therefore in terms of Shomei Ka'ona. Obviously, this doesn't apply to Birkas HaMazon, Brachos, where the objective is not Pirsumei Nisa. It's a personal phenomenon that you should praise God. It's not publicizing something. When you're publicizing something, it's a different requirement. It works differently. But that's Tosis' answer. That's why Tosis is very confident about that. Because that's a matter of Pirsumei Nisa. But in terms of bracha, of course, that's not the idea. The idea is not Pirsumei Nisa. The idea is it's a personal phenomenon, that a certain awareness that emerges as a result of the fact that you pronunciate the praises of God. You have to praise God. Yeah. So that's going to operate by different criteria. In brachas, you have to become a mevarech. So that's the question. If I just heard somebody saying something and I don't really understand what he's saying, is that enough to make me a mevarech? Well, that has to do with the mechanisms of Shomei Kaona. The third question we're going to deal with is not necessarily so much a question in brachos, that emerges from brachos. It's in the Sugya and Megillah itself, one would ask that question. It seems, within the given data over there, that, again, there's an ambiguity in that we're saying that by Hebrew, and even Greek, if it's translated into Greek, which is like Hebrew, there one fulfills even though one doesn't understand. But in other languages, it depends. If you understand English, you're Yotze in English. If you don't understand English, you're not Yotze in English. So a Marashach, I mean, either is understanding required or not? If you see from Hebrew that it's not, so then why is it required when it comes to other languages? This requirement would appear to apply by all cases, whether it be brachos, tefillah, you could say tefillah in other languages, you could say it in English if you don't understand Hebrew, but the requirement would be the same. That's only if you understand that language. If you don't understand that language, you wouldn't be Yotze. Rabbi Chaim explained this idea many, many years ago. And that is, as I recall, obviously, it's been a long time, what we're dealing with is you can be Yotze with Lashon HaKodesh, even though you don't understand it, because you have these mechanisms, because there is a Kriya, or there is a Bracha, let's say, if you're talking about a Bracha. Now, how do we understand the phenomenon of other languages? There is a difference between Lashon HaKodesh and other languages. What is the difference between them? And that is Lashon HaKodesh is defined as a language, as Lashon, from an objective standpoint. Lashon HaKodesh. It's the language of the Torah. What about other languages that are inventions? Pig Latin, Chinese, whatever it is. Things that, when you hear these languages, to you they're meaningless. So do we recognize, like so-called Babel, do we recognize that as being a language? Who said it's a language? And that's an interesting question. Because let's say kids get together and work out some kind of a system of communication with different sounds and noises and so forth. Would that qualify as language even? At what point does something qualify as language? That's interesting. Let's say kids get together in a club and they work out a secret form of communication with different noises and only they themselves know what it means. But within that system of sounds, you could formulate what would constitute a bracha. Question is, would they be Yotze? I highly doubt it, because it may not reach, just because people communicate. People communicate in prison by tapping on, making tapping noises, Morse code. Just because you communicate with something does not necessarily mean that it's language. So, this is a concession. What the Torah is saying is that you go to there's different countries. That's a result, by the way, of the Bavel, you know, the Tower of Bavel, and they form different languages. So there is a phenomenon of different languages. But what defines it as a language is only if a system of communication for those who use it. So this is a very big point. That is to say, if you speak French, so for you, French is a language. If you don't, it's not even a language. Because you can't relate to it as a language. But Lashon HaKodesh has objective reality. And that's why it mentions even Greek, because Greek, the Torah was translated into Greek, so that is on a level of language where it has a universal validity. So you see, it's not just silent Lashon HaKodesh, but sometimes the language will reach such a high degree of perfection from a philosophical standpoint and whatever, that it too will qualify. But the point being that we're talking about two different kinds of language. Something which can be qualified as language from an objective standpoint, and something which only qualifies from a subjective standpoint, and that makes all the difference. Because Loes Sheshama Shuris, he heard the Megillah. He heard a Kriya, because he heard it, it was in a language, and he heard it. So he heard a Kriya's Megillah. But if he heard it in sounds, which is gibberish, it doesn't qualify as a Kriya's Megillah, because for him that doesn't qualify as language. So therefore, when it comes to other languages, it's purely a subjective phenomenon.